Count Nicholas Zinzendorf was born in 1700 to an aristocratic family. His father died when he was an infant, and he ended up being raised by his godly grandmother, who greatly influenced him in becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. While in his 20s, a Moravian pastor, Christian David, came to him with a passionate plea for the persecuted Protestants living in Moravia. And so Zinzendorf offered them asylum on his recently purchased estate. It became the community of Herrnhut, meaning the watch of the Lord. The community quickly grew to over 300, and it didn't take long, sadly, like many Christian churches and organizations, to be filled with bickering and division. And so Count Zinzendorf gave up his prestigious court position and became the leader of the struggling Christian community. Perhaps out of desperation, Zinzendorf had 24 men and women take a covenant to pray every hour around the clock, 24/7 of prayer. Every hour, there was a believer in Herrnhut praying. What happened as a result of that has become known as the Moravian Pentecost. This prayer movement would last over 100 years. There was continuous prayer every single hour by this Moravian movement for over 100 years. From the prayer room of Herrnhut came one of the greatest missionary movements that church history has ever seen. The fire for world evangelism came from a trip that Zinzendorf had taken to Denmark, where Eskimos were being converted to Christ by the Lutherans who were living there. Zinzendorf returned to Herrnhut, preaching passionately for the need for their community to spread the gospel among the nations. Within 50 years, this community of Christ, remember, 300 of them as they started, they sent out 226 missionaries around the world. Two of those missionaries, John Dober and David Nitschmann, a potter and a carpenter, intentionally sold themselves into slavery in order to reach the slaves in the Danish West Indies for Christ. How's that for commitment? One of the individuals that was reached by the gospel through these followers was a man by the name of John Wesley, who greatly influenced his brother Charles. And he and his brother would go on to be part of one of the greatest spiritual revivals in England and become the founders of the Methodist Church. If you have any Methodist roots, you can thank Zinzendorf and the Moravians at Herrnhut. If you have ever been blessed by the hymns "And Can It Be," or "Christ the Lord Has Risen Today," or the Christmas song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," all written by John and Charles Wesley, you have Count Zinzendorf and the Moravian Christians to thank for that. Was it great preaching? Was it a great building? Was it great programs? Was it being super organized and every last detail in place? Nothing wrong with any of those things I've just mentioned. It was none of those things. They got on their knees and they became fervent in prayer. In my opinion, one of the things lacking in the church today, serious, passionate, fervent prayer. So we're going to do something. This wasn't going to be part of the 24/7, or excuse me, the 21 days of praying like Jesus. But decided to try something. I'm going to take this right here. Could you come up here? Grab this. Yep. Right here. I didn't mean to wake you up. I apologize. Looks like you're having a good sleep. All right, just kidding. He wasn't. But over there. Go and have a seat over there. Okay. We're going to try this for the next 6 days, starting Monday at 12 a.m. We are going to start 1 hour of prayer. Someone praying. This is our goal. Somebody in the church praying every single hour for the next, 6 days starting tomorrow. My prayer is we can fill up every single spot. Because if we don't, I've got a lot of spots I have to put my name on, okay? And I want to put my name on some, but I don't know. A few of them. So here's what we're doing. We're going to, and this is always dangerous. Don't sign up because you think it'll make you look spiritual, all right? If you're not serious about it, just let it pass, and there's no judgment there on, for this, okay? I'm just throwing this at you. But I have a spot, 1 hour spots, okay? So we're going to start there, all right? And we're going to work its way back there. So whoever is the last person in this section, you're going to go back there, the back row Baptists over there, okay, in the white section over there. They're going to fill it out, and then you'd bring it up here and here and then here and then back there and then there. Got it? And then whoever's the last person is going to come up and bring it to me, okay? And we'll see. We'll see if we can get every spot filled. Who knows? Maybe we'll send it around a second time. I don't know. But I want to try this, something different, but I want you to seriously consider, you might just take one spot for the week, or you might take 1 hour every day for the week. That's totally up to you how you want to do that, if you feel led to do that. So, all right, so there we go. Father God, I just pray right now. I really believe in this, and Lord, this was an idea you gave me just last night as I was rereading about Zinzendorf's life and just was so challenged and moved by that. And so many times we try to accomplish things in the flesh or in our own understanding. And just the reminder, it's when we get serious about prayer, passionate, fervent prayer, you move. So I just pray that this isn't just a, you know, fun little thing we did, but this is a movement that you're going to use this hourly prayer over the next week, that maybe so much so we'll continue to do it. Who knows? Lord, just stepping out by faith, and I would just ask that you would encourage some others to join me in 24/7 of prayer over this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to imagine for a moment that you have 1 day to live. Somehow you know it. You have 1 day to live. What would you do with that 1 day of life? What would be the things that you do? What would be, who would you spend it with? 1 day. In John chapter 13 through 18, Jesus knows, because though he came in the form of man, he was still God, so he knew that this day would be his last day. Thursday would be his last day. That late into that evening, he would be arrested. And the next day, he would hang on a cross for you and me. So I think it's significant to look at what did Jesus do? What mattered to Jesus knowing he had 1 day to live? And if you were to look at those chapters, you would discover there were a couple things he did. One, he spent intimate quality time with his disciples, encouraging them, challenging them, comforting them, preparing them. And the second thing he did is he prayed. He prayed with his disciples, and he prayed alone with the Father as well. He prayed. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 17 if you have a Bible. I do have verses on here as well. If you look at John 17, and for the sake of time today, because there's different things I want to cover here, we're not going to study through John chapter 17. If you go to this church, you know that we believe strongly in expository preaching, preaching verse by verse through the scriptures. But today would be considered a little more, quote unquote, a topical sermon today. But in the prayer guides and on the videos during the week, we walk through this particular chapter. I just want to highlight three things from this chapter really quickly, actually. Three relationships that Jesus interceded for. Three relationships Jesus interceded for. Number one, himself. If you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to jot these things down. They're also on our app. Number one, he prayed for himself in verses 1-5. It says in verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So he began by praying for himself, but he wasn't praying for stuff. He was praying that God would be glorified with what was about to happen. His arrest, his persecution, his death, his resurrection, that God would be glorified in those things. By the way, that's a really good thing for you and I to pray every day. Lord, today as I start my day, just be glorified in what I do today. That's a really good daily prayer to start your day with. But then secondly, he turned, even though he knew what was before him and the weight of what was before him, nonetheless, he was thinking of others. Number two, he prayed for his disciples, his 12 disciples, well, his 11 disciples, technically. He prayed for his disciples. Judas had already betrayed him. In verse 6-19, it says in verse 9, I am praying for them. That's the them. Right, the 11 disciples. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. We look at what he prayed, again, in the prayer guide, but for today, just know that he prayed for his disciples. And then number 3, verses 20-26, this is going to knock your socks off. He prayed for us. Oh, okay, I guess, who cares that Jesus is praying for us, I guess. That was the knock your socks off moment there. You want me to try it again? Here's the third thing Jesus prayed for. 2,000 years ago, he prayed for us. Says in verse 20, I did not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Guess what? If you've believed in Christ, guess who that is? You. And listen, I don't know how that works, like the God-man, because there's only been one God-man that's ever existed, like that has been both God and in the form of man. Like, I don't know if it, with his mind, he could like somehow like even have like millions and billions of people at the same time. I don't know how all that works when you're the God-man. All I know is that it says that he's praying for those who would believe, and that's you and me. And I do know this, and we're going to get to it a little bit later, that he continues to pray for you and me. And that's pretty amazing. You see, what I want our focus to be today, this morning, is this idea of intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. There's all kinds of prayers that we can offer up. One of the most important things that you and I have been called to as followers of Christ is intercessory prayer. This is not for like the superstars, not for those who somehow seem like they have a closer connection than God than the rest of us. This is for all of us who know Jesus. We've been called to this. Intercessory prayer is really just a big word, kind of big word, I guess. It simply means this: praying on behalf of others. That's all that is. Intercessory prayer is praying on behalf of others. Peter Gregg, who had started his own 24/7 movement that has had global impact, in his book, How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People, said the following. Sickness can sometimes be healed. He's talking about intercessory prayer here. Sicknesses can sometimes be healed, curses broken, churches revived, communities shaped, catastrophes prevented, governments redirected, and the future formed by the simple power of intercessory prayer. Do you believe that, friends? If we don't believe that, we should not be a church. If we don't believe that. Because if we don't believe that, everything we're trying to do as a church is simply that, us trying to do it. The things we're going to talk about next week, I'm going to mention on at our end of our service. If that's just us, lock the doors and let's call it a day. It's not just trying to sound spiritual when I time and time again say, Jesus is the lead pastor of this church. If he's not, none of us should be here. He has to be. And when God's people pray, it gives us more clarity and more direction on where he's leading us. I believe these things can happen. We've seen some of these things happen. Some of these very things that mentioned in that quote, we've seen to some degree happen in the last almost 3 years of our existence, but nowhere near what I think what it can be and what it could be and what I think God wants it to be. But I don't think it's better programs. I don't think it's even better pastors, better this, better that. I think it's a passionate fervency to prayer. Let's seek and plead for God to do the miraculous in our midst. He goes on to say, all too easily, my prayers can mostly be about me. But intercession requires my center of gravity to shift away from my own personal needs towards those of others. I'm not pointing a finger. I can be very selfish in prayer sometimes. I can just stop and say, man, how much of my prayer time has been focused on asking for things in my world, in my realm? And so intercessory prayer gets us into the habit of being other-centric in our lives and in our praying. So a couple points on prayer today. And then I got some big news to share. It's big news, but I'm not going to share details yet. And then I want us to be praying about it. But I want to share a couple thoughts here for you first. First one is this. Number one, all Christians are to be intercessors. All Christians. You might say, I've only been saved 3 months. Perfect. I got saved last week. Great. I've been a Christian 50 years. Wonderful. You're all in the same boat. You all have a relationship with God, and he wants to hear from you, and he wants to answer your prayers. Well, I'm not good at praying. God doesn't care. He just wants you to come to him. Right? He wants you to come to him being you. Not sounding like the person in your connect group that prays really, you know, superfluously. Is that a word? Did I make up a word just now? Is that a word? Whatever. Let's count it. All right. Okay, let's move on. All Christians should be intercessors. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Say it with me, a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. A holy nation, a people for his own possessions, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's a lot of good stuff there. I just want to yank one thing out of there. That says that those of us that know Jesus Christ, we are a royal priesthood. Amen. Come on. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am royalty. Turn to someone else and say, so are you. I mean, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound pretty good to be royal priesthood? It don't mean you get any more money, but I mean, you got treasures in the palace or anything. What does that mean, a royal priesthood? It means that you are part of royalty because you are a son and or daughter of the king. And you have access as royalty. And not only are you a son or daughter of the king, you have a priestly responsibility and opportunity now as priests from the Bible would go into the presence of God on behalf of others. You have, because you can come into his presence because of the finished work of Christ, you have this priestly opportunity available to enter into the Holy of Holies on behalf of other people. And God hears. I mean, come on. I know one of the challenges for some of us have been in church many years, sometimes that loses its effect. I just pray that you will recapture just how amazing that is to be a royal priest, to have that kind of access and potential of power available to you in prayer. So we come as priests into the presence on behalf of others. Well, who should we pray for? And the answer is all people. Amen. You might be like, that seems like a lot. Seems like a lot of people. Yeah, it's all people. That's a lot. That comes straight from 1 Peter 2:1. First of all, then I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Now, that doesn't mean, obviously, is that you need to pray for every single person that's alive. Of course, that's not what it means. But it means that it involves all kinds of ways to pray for others. It means you don't just pray for your family or your friends. And this is not an exhaustive list, friends, but let me just give some very practical things. All of these have verses attached to them that I didn't include, okay? But here's some of the all people in the Bible. Either taught to or by example, we see it demonstrated. Here are some of the all people that when you're praying as a priest, a high priest to God, here are some of those. Those in authority. Those in authority. So governing officials, police officers, president, vice president, Congress, Senate, people that are in positions of authority where you work. I mean, you know, there's a lot that I know that includes a lot of things, but are you praying for people in authority? We live in a world where we kind of like to rebel against authority. Kind of our whole nation was kind of based on that in some ways. Always remember this, though, the people in authority, there's a lot of pressure to that. My previous church was the first time I'd ever been a head pastor, like a lead pastor. So he's been a teaching pastor before that. But looking back, it's like, man, that was easy. That was easy, man. I'd ever complain when I was a teaching pastor. And my father-in-law, he told me, he said, it's a whole new thing being the lead pastor. It's hard for any, you know, there's a challenge for every pastor, but it's a different weight that you carry. Those were his exact words. And I'm like, yeah, I get it, you know. I didn't get it until you do it. And there's this phrase, I think it's Shakespeare, that always rattles around my head. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Now, we're blessed because we are a plurality of elder leadership, which I think is biblical, which means it's shared leadership. But still, there are dynamics when you're the lead pastor that are uniquely different than any other role. And I'm not saying that in any way. I'm blessed to do what I do. There's things that you carry as well in that role. And think about that. 32 years of hearing thousands of heartache stories and watching people die in front of you and seeing marriages ruined. I mean, when someone says, you're praying for me, and I say thank you, I mean that. I mean that. And I'm thankful for that, for those of you that do. And for the people that you work for, your boss, maybe instead of complaining, saying, I'm going to be a prayer warrior for my boss. I hate how he leads. Or she leads. It drives me crazy. But maybe instead of complaining, I'm going to start praying for that person in authority. What if we started praying for those people in authority instead of thinking how much better we could do it? You know, or if only they did this different. Doesn't mean you don't hold people in authority to accountable. Of course, that's important. But can we honestly say that's part of our intercessory prayer? We pray for the people in authority over us, and we all have them. Some of the other, all people are spiritual leaders. Okay, I guess I already covered that under authority. But our spiritual leaders we're called to pray for. The sick and the hurting. I think this one we all, you know, probably, oh yeah, yeah. But the sick and the hurting, that's an important one. Those struggling with sin. Galatians 6 talks about that. What an incredible opportunity we have. That part of the restoration is being prayer warriors for them. I know some of you have prodigal sons and daughters in your life. And it feels like, why, you know, you want to do more to see them fall in love with Jesus. But I promise you the most important thing, in addition to trying to reflect the love and life of Jesus in your own life, the most important thing is to be intercessory prayer for them. Fight for them. Fight for them on your knees. Our family and friends, of course. Oh, I wanted to skip this one, but I can't. I won't. Our enemies. Our enemies. That's my next point. Intercessory prayer should include our enemies. Jesus, these are not my suggestions. This is Jesus's. And it wasn't a suggestion. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? This is important, church. Those that you're struggling with, start bringing them. Start bringing them. That's your priestly responsibility to bring them before the Father in prayer. And let me give you some real words of encouragement. Jesus is the ultimate intercessory. Jesus is the ultimate intercessor. Said that wrong. I'm not going to make a point of these. I just want to read these verses, and I want you just to pause and just let this soak in for a moment, okay? 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and me, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen? So when you come to the Father, you're coming through Christ. This is, I love this one. Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. Listen to this now. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. Isn't that awesome? Jesus lives to make intercession for us. You ever use that phrase before? Your kids like that, just, oh, just, you know, I live to be able to. I mean, let that soak in. Like this isn't a burden or an obligation of Jesus. He lives to make intercession for you. He delights in making intercession for you. He doesn't get tired of you coming time and time and time again. He's not you again, that again. How many times are you going to pray for that? Oh, look. Look, Father, our son. Look, Father, our daughter. She's coming to us. She's coming to us. And he lives to be the intercessor to God in that for you. I mean, maybe some of you just need to underline that. Maybe you feel like your prayers aren't working. You wonder if God's even listening. Underline that word lives. He lives to make intercession for you. Romans 8:34. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Is that doing anything for your soul right now? Is it? I don't know, because, you know, we're kind of a culture that doesn't always wear our emotions on our, you know, sleeve or on our faces. But is that doing something for you today? Yes. I hope it is. That not only are you entering the presence of the Heavenly Father despite our sinfulness, entering the presence of a holy God. In addition to that, Jesus is excited and passionate and delighting in interceding for us in our interceding. It's all happening when we pray. One last thing. Intercessory prayer unleashes the power of God. James 5, 13 through 18 says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And all the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I want Church on the Rock to be a place of healing. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah, who was a man with a nature like ours, in other words, he was a sinful man, you know, just like us, human. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruits. Who says God can't answer prayers like that again? And as I wrap it up and then share something for us to pray about, I'll just give this to you as a way to end kind of with something practical. Ways to practice intercessory prayer. I want to suggest 3 of them for you. Number 1 is planned prayer. It's okay to have a plan in prayer. Right? Think through those different, what does all people mean for you? Maybe this week, sit down and I'm going to have a plan. Maybe Monday mornings, I'm going to pray for those that are in authority. Maybe lunchtime, I'm going to take 5 minutes and that's going to be my time to pray for 3 people in my life that don't know Jesus. Planned prayer is good. Have a plan. It makes sure that we're covering the all people in our life. But then 2, also the importance of impromptu prayer, where you suddenly hear about a need and that's an opportunity in that moment to bring it before the Lord. Or God is just leaning and pressing somebody on your mind, coming into your mind and praying. I remember something that really helped me. I was reading a book on spiritual disciplines, and it was talking about prayer, how like sometimes you're praying and then all of a sudden you're like, you have an ADD moment and you start thinking about something else. Has anybody else besides me done, like, you don't even know how often that happens to me, okay? You really don't. I like you thinking that maybe I'm like on my knees 3 hours in focused prayer, okay? I like that image much better. But, you know, sometimes I'm praying and I'm just like praying to the Lord. I'm like, hey, that sort of looks like clouds with like a bird. I mean, Lord, you know. But he said something. It was John Ortberg in his book, The Life Always Wanted, or something like that. What if those quote-unquote distractions, maybe not always, but what if oftentimes those things your mind drifts to are things that the Spirit of God is wanting you to pray for in that moment? So you're praying about Aunt Bertha's hip surgery, which is important. But as you're praying, you keep being bothered about this thing that happened at work and this irritation. And instead of saying, "Wow, I can't believe I can't focus on praying my poor Aunt Bertha," maybe the Lord's saying, I'm redirecting you here for a moment. Let's address that. Oftentimes, those distractions aren't distractions. There's God leading you in a different place for intercessory prayer. Be open. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God's moving and impromptu prayers. And I'll give you one more, and this is a loaded word depending on what your theological upbringing is, but I'm going to use the word, not as really so much as even as a capital P, but a small p, really, prophetic prayer. Prophetic prayer. I don't mean on the level of Isaiah or Ezekiel. We have a closed canon. We have the Word of God, all right? But I believe that God can still give dreams and visions. I believe that God can still give very specific directions to a person to take to another person. And I think the Bible says test the spirits. I think we have to be careful not just to automatically say, thus saith the Lord. We need to evaluate. But there are times when God may put a strong, strong vision of something or someone in your mind and a thing, and maybe even a particular dream that you've had. And I don't believe all dreams are prophetic. I don't. But I do believe that God can still speak to us through dreams and visions. I do. I don't think there's anything in Scripture that would say otherwise. And I've studied it a lot, these issues. But I'm not even talking so much about the more miraculous side of that. But I mean, just when you're praying and God just seems to put this person or this thing so deeply on you, to not just, you know, I don't know about that. Go with that. And go to that person with that. I had someone just this last week say that this was a dream about you, and I've been praying for you based on what I believe that dream is that God gave me about you. And I was very honored that they would do that and share that with, know that it was a safe space to share something like that with me. Kind of something we can all agree on with this one is be sensitive when the Spirit of God is pressing on you about something or someone. Okay? That's powerful. Because God is choosing you to have a ministry in that person's life. Whether it's just a prayer ministry. I had one person who shared a vision that they had for me. This was in the transition between my last place and here. And she said, I did not have permission from the Lord to share with you what this vision was because you were still on staff at another church. God released me of that vision of what I had to share with you. And it was exactly at the time where my wife and I were saying, do we take one of these churches out of state? The doors that had opened for us. Or has God planted us here? She had no idea that's what we were thinking and working through. And God released her months after to share the vision and the prayers that she was offering. Now you can think what you want about all that. All I know is the Bible tells me we live by faith, not by sight. And we can't explain that. We have a supernatural faith, friends. And God still can and wants to do supernatural things. And if we're not willing to lean into that, then we could have a nicely organized church that isn't full of the breathing Spirit of God being released in our presence. And I want to tell you, intercessory prayer is a huge part of seeing the movement of God and the power of God in this place. Amen? Yes. We're going to pray about something, and then our band's going to come up and close us. In fact, the band can come up now, if you would, please. Close us. And you might be thinking, man, we talked about intercessory prayer, but we didn't have our prayer teams because I wanted to save it for the end, for our final song. If you have something that you want to be prayed with about, prayed for, you want someone to pray over you, our prayer team and elders' wives will be available on our two prayer corners. Please come up during the closing song. Here's the thing I'm going to ask everyone to pray, because we're all in this together. God has called elders to lead, but he's called us to do it with the people. And I won't give you all the details now, but God has worked in a number of ways to open up a very, very, very real possibility for us to purchase our own property as a church. And it was not elder initiated. It was something that God had, through a number of circumstances, brought to us. And we have prayed over it. We have taken steps towards it, but no steps that we couldn't go back if for some reason the body of Christ was not behind it. And we want to share where that is next Sunday. We want to share how it came to be. And while as an elder team, certainly at least to this point, as we've prayed about it and have had many conversations about it, why we believe that this is, it seems anyways, the direction in which God is leading us. If you don't mind, I'd like to just brag on the elders for a second. When we looked at this place, and we've looked at it multiple times, what I loved the most was what excited the elders the most, which wasn't the building. It wasn't, and trust me, we will not have space issues. As we're looking at this map, I think one of them in one conversation, anyways, look at all the people who live around here. Look at the need in this community. You know what we are now? We're a regional church. And that's not bad. And we'll probably always be a regional church. You know what that means, right? We come in from Michigan, Bristol, Middlebury, Elkhart. And that is, that's great. But this would also plant us into a community and a community with needs. And what fired up the elders wasn't, oh, look how nice the worship center looks and look how nice this is. What excited them is look at the opportunity this gives us. And I didn't initiate that. They were the ones sharing that and being excited about that. And I'm just proud of my elders. That's why they're excited about this possibility. It's the people that we can reach. So all we're asking for this week is to spend a week in prayer. If you signed up for 24/7 prayer, if you could go ahead and at least use some of that hour to pray about this. We really want to sense, and there is a timeline and a not say time limit, but we are moving not recklessly, but we are moving forward aggressively, unless we hear otherwise, because we're not the only ones with this opportunity. and so we are praying and sensing even by next Sunday to pull the final trigger on that if we sense that from our people. Because we're all in this together, amen? We're all in this together. So would you just pray about that? This church isn't about a building, it's about the mission to make disciples of all nations as God has called us to. Father God, thank you for the way that you're moving and working. Thank you even for some of the conversations about as we're also looking at other, you know, pastors as well. That's something we haven't even talked about, but it's, we've been in the budget for a year and a half now, and just even there, Lord, there's so many things that you're beginning to open doors. But Father, right now, just this potential property for us to purchase, and Lord, just your will be done as Jesus modeled it for us. Your will be done, not ours. That's what we ask. Lord, may we leave here with a greater passion for intercessory prayer. We just pray this for your glory in Jesus' name.